Thank you for coming here today. I was walking according to the course of this world, according to the prince and power of God. I had my back to God. I had my face to the pit. I was walking in darkness. My eyes were blinded. I was on the broad way that leads down to hell and destruction. August 1970, a new element was introduced into my life. The gospel of Jesus Christ. Since that day, I've never been the same. The Word of God, both written and living, had a tremendous effect on my life. Even more so than the world and the course of the world in which I walked had a tremendous effect on my life. It was threatening me with holy. It was filling me for hell. And that mold was broken by the power of the gospel. And that element, the presence and the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, began to change me. It had its effect on me. That is the subject of our theme tonight. The Word and its effect in my life. We live in a world of cause and effect. Something that brings about a result in our life. The cause, a person or a thing. And then the result itself is the effect that happens to us. Now, because we are all different and our backgrounds are different, our education is different, our personalities are different, then we're going to respond to different causes, different ways. And things that would not bother me will disturb you. And things that might disturb you perhaps would not bother me. Cause and effect. As Christians, we are continually bombarded by the effects of the system in which we live, the world, the flesh, and the devil. We are constantly bombarded with its philosophies, its desires, its motivations, its ambitions, its goals, religious, secular, social. And the Word of God stands forth like a mighty power and says to us through the Lord Jesus Christ, love not the world. Interesting there, that word means choose not to love. You see, agape love is not love that I have to feel before I can love. It is an intelligent, rational decision. I choose not to do something. God chose to love us. You see, we love Him because He loved us without a cost. He chose to love us. Sometimes this world and its influence on us makes us weak rather than strong. And because of that, our daily lives as Christians are not as effective. The Word of God doesn't come into our lives and motivate us and strengthen us and help us to do what we ought to do because of the influence. Brother, I have never been more aware in my Christian life than I have been this year that we're in spiritual war. Never been more aware of that. Do you think it's coincidence that every time you try to read your Bible, or a pray, or a witness that you have a hard time? That's not coincidence. You do anything else that has no eternal value, and you find out you have very little trouble with that. My brother ministered to us on devotion to Christ last night. How many of us sat in that meeting and we thought, you know, He's right. We need to be devoted to Him. We need to learn to lean on His grace. We need to learn to sit
natural history, we link this thing to long hours of communion with Him. And a heart burning within us.
We walk out of building.
And even before we walked out, how many of you noticed how quickly the conversation changed?
You noticed it, didn't you?
Perhaps you even changed it. Not because you necessarily wanted to, but because there is an influence, there is a spiritual war that's going on that does not want us to think about these things because it might cause an effect in our lives.
It's true. By the grace of God, we endeavor to meet with our children twice a day around the Scriptures. In the morning, before they go to school, and at night, before they go to bed. I do not think a day passes that something does not interrupt them. You know what I mean? Phone rings, doorbell rings, someone comes for a visit. Just as we go to open the Word, just as we go to get on our knees around the table to pray, something comes in. Something happens. Well, it's not all coincidence. It's not all happenstance. We are in a spiritual warfare. And many of us are ignorant of the devices of the enemy. We need to get rid of it. We're talking about the effect of the Word of God in our lives. You know that tonight, some of us would have more to say about the effect of the world in our life than we would have to say about the effect of the Word on our life. Because the Word of God really has an effect to us. I mean, it really hasn't done what we maybe want it to do. We hear a message, we think we're going to do something, we walk out into this big goal, this big ambition we have in 2-3, maybe a week, 2 weeks, maybe even a few days sometimes. And I'm right back where I was. Are we conformed to the world, or are we conformed to the Word? Finally, real, lasting, this is the key, lasting changes have come into your life because of the Word of God. And here's a question for you. Think about it. How many real, lasting changes have come into your life because of the Word of God? Another question. What have you done this week that only a Christian would do? Don't say read the Bible and pray because unsaved people do that. Don't say visit in hospitals and work in churches. Unsaved people do that. What have you done this week that only a Christian would do? That will give you some idea of the effect that the Word of God is having in your life. It'll help you. It'll help me to evaluate what's going on in here. You see, our theme tonight is not what can I do with the Word of God. That's not our theme. To hold up this Bible and say, what can I do with the Word of God? That's not our theme. The theme is, what can the Word of God do with me? You see that? Its effect on my life. That's the theme. What can it do to me? You see, really, before we can reach out effectively, something has to happen in our life. We are reminded of that time when our spirit was thrilled. We just received Christ as our Savior. We couldn't tell enough people about it. Oh, I'll tell you, I've never seen it today. Neither will you. I've driven 2,000 miles and God stopped me. He sent a Sunday school teacher from a Presbyterian church to lead me to Jesus Christ.
Now got on that phone and I called my parents, and they did not know the Lord. And for the first time in my life, I knew they didn't know the Lord. And I called them up and I had to tell them what I'd done. Because the living Word, the Lord Jesus, and the gospel of Jesus Christ had come into my life and affected me. I couldn't be quiet about it. And I was sitting here tonight and I was listening to the songs, listening to the announcements, and going over what we have gone over this weekend. And then a thought came into my mind. What if I were to ask everyone here tonight who has not led a person to Christ within the last 12 months to stand up? If you've not led a person to Jesus Christ in the last 12 months to stand up, would you have to stand? Is this thing not real to us? We say, well, I'm not an evangelist, and I'm no good at that. It's spiritual war, brother. The devil doesn't want you to witness. You can't make anybody accept Christ, but some of us don't even try. Some of us just say, well, leave it to the preacher, leave it to the worker, leave it to the evangelist. Evangelism is a gift, but sharing Christ on a personal basis is a command. That's the commission. Do the work of an evangelist. I don't care if you got the gift. Do the work of an evangelist. Would you have to stand tonight? Would you open your Bibles to John chapter 14, please? I don't know who drank all this water last, but I'm going to drink out of it now. I drink stump water better than me. John chapter 14. Last night, we were encouraged, challenged, exhorted, admonished, be devoted to Christ. I'm going to make a statement. Bear with me. Our love or our devotion for Jesus Christ is directly related to our appreciation of the Word of God. Let me say that again. Our love or our devotion to Jesus Christ is directly related to our appreciation of the Word of God. Verse 21. The Lord Jesus says, he that hath my commandment and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. He that hath my commandment and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Again in verse 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. Now there's a lot more to be said, but I just want you to focus on those thoughts. You cannot separate the written word from the living word. You can't. No Jesus ever looked up into the sky and said, I want Christ as my Savior. Faith cometh by hearing the Word, the Gospel. How do we get to know the Lord Jesus? We can't walk with Him like those two on the road to Emmaus. We can't have Him expound to us what the Scriptures say about Him. But we have the Word. And if you want to be devoted to Christ, you must meet Him here in the Scriptures. You cannot throw this book on the shelf and say, I'm going to be devoted to Christ. You do not know Him. You have to spend time with an individual to get to know an individual. You must walk with him and talk with him. You can do that through the Word of God. Our love for Jesus Christ is directly related to our appreciation. So that tells me, Joe, do you love to read the Word?
Joe, do you just long to sit down and just get along with the Word of God? Because if I don't, friend, that tells you something of my appreciation for my Savior. And it tells you something of your appreciation for your Savior. You see, if we read this Bible to get some theological truth, if we read the Word of God so that we can win an argument or prove a point, we've missed the purpose for which the Word of God has been preserved for us. This Bible is Christ-centered. And on every page of that Bible, Jesus Christ comes forth, superimposed. And you and I need to read the Word of God so that we can get to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Know Him better. Know Him in His fullness. Know Him in His power. Know Him in His suffering. How are we going to get to do that? Through the Word. And allowing that Word to come into my life and have an effect on me. Intake before outreach. Jesus is not precious to you, friend. You're not going to tell Him how precious He is to anybody else. Let me see if I can illustrate this idea of intake before outreach by giving you the illustration of a simple forced air heating system. You have a heat chamber, you have a blower, you have some supply duct, and you have a return air system. Now, the fan motor has the capacity to put out as many cubic feet per inch that you need to supply that duct that's feeding the house. The fan is designed for that. The heating chamber will produce enough heat for that fan to move that heat through that duct system into that house and adequately run that house. But do you know that the return air system, the intake, the cold air return, we call it, do you know that that is just as critical, perhaps even more so, than the supply? If you don't believe that, just go down in your basement or wherever your furnace is and just take a piece of cardboard and put it where the filter is so that no air can go through. And suddenly you'll realize that the fan motor begins to overheat. And that there's nothing, there's no distribution, there's no heat moving in the house anymore. And what will happen is this. It really doesn't matter how big the supply duct is. The fan can only push out what it takes in. Do you see that principle, how simple that is? And that principle is the same when it comes to the Word of God and what we're going to do with it. What it does to me, I can only put out. It doesn't matter how many doors of opportunity are open, how many times I have an opportunity to share Christ or to minister or preach. What really matters is what comes in. Some of you here tonight are speakers. You're preachers. God's using you in a tremendous way. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? You ever get dry? Let it dry up, you know how? Because you've pushed everything out and nothing's coming in. The schedule is too busy. Haven't taken time to get anything for myself. And I'm dry. Well, I'll tell you, our intake is limited, our output is limited. I really noticed this a month ago when I was traveling back from some meetings down in Oakville. It was just a month ago, a snowstorm, you know, and the road was closed for a while, north of North Bay for a couple of hours. This is the end of April. And I happened to be driving north that day from Oakville. And as I got closer and closer to North Bay, I was driving in my truck. My truck at best is not good, but it was all right. And it kept getting slower. And it kept getting more gas. And it kept getting slower. And it kept getting more gas. And then I got my just barely got up this hill. It was running smooth, but it just had no power. And I just sort of just barely made it over to the service station. And as I pulled into the service station, I got out, I opened the hood, and I looked in. being the expert mechanic that I am, I just looked and I said, well, I can't see anything wrong. And sure enough, there's nothing visible, you know? And so I just kind of took the air filter off, and I took the top of it off, and when I pulled it off, you know what was in it? Flesh and ice. And the temperature was just like that, and it was just misting and snowing, and somehow it had sucked all the stuff off the road and plugged that air filter. Maybe we can take it. And this great, big, gas guzzling, powerful motor that I had no power. Absolutely no power. Wouldn't have moved that truck another 100 yards. Soon as I took the air filter out, I cleaned it off. I took that little vent that comes from your grill and goes into the air filter. I disconnected that so that the sludge wouldn't come back up in there. And I put that back on and I started that, and I had power. You know what? Fresh air was coming into that motor now. And the right balance was made. I don't know how we think that we can be so effective in outreach when we don't let any freshness come into our lives through the Word of God. Trying to live on yesterday's victory. Trying to live on, I led somebody to Christ 10 years ago. That was a wonderful thing. Let me tell you about it. Tell you ought to be telling me about somebody you led to Christ last week. You ought to be telling me about some new truth you found in the Word of God this morning. Something maybe not new, but it just blessed your heart and encouraged you. And you just need to tell somebody about it. Can't live on yesterday's victories nor defeats. We need to have something fresh in our lives. I wonder sometimes when we come to remember the Lord Jesus, this is not the problem. You ever sit around the Lord's Supper sometimes and just dry? And you just come down and you think to yourself, I didn't get anything in there, that friend. You come to give at that meeting. You don't come to get. You come there to get anything. You come to give. You know, you come to worship the Lord. And if you haven't taken anything in, you can't give him anything. The Word is having no effect in your life, and you can't give it out. There's a time for us to take in. In order for the Word to have an effect on my life, I want to suggest that there are certain things that have to happen. I got to be willing to obey it. Read it, yes. Study it, yes. Believe it, yes. It's a key. I got to believe it. But friend, I've got to obey it. I've got to apply what I know is true to my life. The Word of God will not return void, but it may have a negative effect on your life. And sometimes we don't think about that. We say, oh, the Word of God won't return void. So we think that every time somebody hears the Word of God, it's going to produce eternal life. No, it's not. It may produce eternal damnation. Savor life unto life and death unto death, but it will not return void. It's quick, it's sharp, it's powerful, it cuts into a man's heart. It's a convictor and a converter, or a convictor and a condemner, but it will not return void. And it can have a negative effect on our life, or it can have a positive effect. Let me give an illustration of believing. Last Wednesday night I got home from prayer meeting and my wife was rather upset. And she said to me, she said about our little 8-year-old girl, Joanne, she said, when I put Joanne to bed tonight, she said, I found a real lump on her neck right here. And she said, I'm concerned about that. Well, you've had enough dealings with cancer, I'm sure, and we certainly have in the last few years in our little chapel. And friends that we know. To know that when you see something like that, your mind just goes automatically to the worst, it seems. She was very concerned, and I was trying not to be any more concerned than I needed to be so that she wouldn't be overly concerned, and I said, honey, well, just go and have a look. And Joanne was sleeping, and so she was laying on the wrong side, and I tried to have a look at it or feel it, but I didn't want to wake her up. And so I said, let's just leave it till morning. We went to bed, we got before the Lord, and we just asked the Lord to protect her, and that hopefully this wouldn't be anything. The next morning, the Lord was there, and Joanne said, come on, and Mama, what are you going to do about it? See, at 8 years old, she went through the death of a close friend just a few years ago, and she knew that she had a lump on her neck, cancer. And she remembered that, and she was anxious. And so we thought, well, we could call this doctor, and there's a doctor in our area, and then this, that, and the other, and we didn't have any peace about that. And so a personal friend of mine who's a pediatrician in Timmins, who I really respect and honor as a believer and cherish as a believer and a brother and really respect him as a doctor, we called him on the phone. And over that phone conversation, after explaining and sort of telling him what this was and all, he assured us over the phone that it was probably just a lymph gland that had been infected by either a sore throat or an ear infection, or he said maybe flybys, and she had a whole bunch of flybys back here. You know, that's all it took for my wife. Complete calm. Why? She believed the words of that man. Do you see what I'm saying to you? She believed, she trusted in his diagnosis enough that it took all the fear and all the anxiousness out of that. And he said, just watch it. And he said, if anything else develops, you let me know. But he said, I'm 99% sure that it's very common in children. And it can come from these various things. Why don't we believe God when he says something? Why don't we take him at his word? That same principle of prayer will allow the word of God to come into your life with power. It'll have a tremendous effect on you. Let me give you some reasons to believe what God said. Take a Bible, we're going to hurriedly just burn through. Go back to Numbers chapter 23. And if this doesn't convince you, you can't be convinced. Numbers chapter 23. Look your fingers, here we go. Verse 19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? And the answer, of course, is, of course he will make it good. Of course he does not lie. Of course he means for what he said. Deuteronomy chapter 7. Verse 8. But because the Lord loved you, and because he will keep the oath which he has sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen and from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, the Lord will keep the oath. And then look again, Joshua 21. Joshua 21. Verse 35, last verse, Joshua 21, 35. There failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord God had spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass. Chapter 23, same book. Verse 14. And behold, this day I am going to lay all the earth. And you know in your hearts and in all your soul that not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing has failed. So,
2 Kings chapter 8. First Kings chapter 8. And verse 56. 1 Kings 8 and 56. Blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel, according to all that he promised, there hath not failed one word of all of his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses his servant, and on and on and on and on the list goes things. God means what he says. And he says what he means, and the word of God is true. The word of God can be trusted. The promises of God are not mottos to be hung on the wall or checks to be taken to the bank and cashed. We need to believe them. Listen, let me tell you, the word of God will have an effect on your life. When you believe what God says, you must believe it. You can read it, you can intellectually give a sense to it, you can argue, you can debate, you can write a thesis, but until you believe it and apply it to your life, it won't affect you. It won't affect you. Not in a positive way. Not like the Lord wants to energize you and strengthen you to use, to roll a sword. A lot of us reach for a sword and it's not there. Because in Ephesians chapter 6, that's the spoken word, and many of us don't have it in our hearts, and we can't speak. Jesus said it is written. We have to say, wait a minute, let me see if I can find my Bible and read it. No, you quote it. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed to thy word? Would it affect you if you believe this? Fear not, I'm with thee. Be not dismayed, I'm thy God. I'll strengthen thee. Nay, I will help thee. Nay, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Do you believe that? Because if you do, it'll change your life. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. You believe that? That's the helmet of salvation, friend. That's eternal security. That'll change your life. The word of God will come in and change your life. If I thought I could lose my salvation tonight, I'd be afraid of getting off my knees. I would. And I'll tell you, there are a lot of people who believe in that fall away doctrine who are afraid to get out of the ditches and fight because they don't have on the helmet of salvation. They're afraid they'll lose it. Friend, you put it on, you can't be killed. That protects your head. That's the breath blow. Put it on and believe God. Will it change your life if you believe this? There's no temptation taking you but such as common to man. And God is faithful. He'll not allow you to be tempted above that which you're able, but along with the temptation, give you a way to escape. You believe that? Because if you do, that's going to affect your life. Friend, I'm not telling you something you don't know. I'm telling you something that we don't apply to our lives. We hear the word of God, but we don't obey it. Because we don't really believe it. We don't really believe it. That's the reason it doesn't affect our lives. He says, our labor is not in vain. He says, I give you peace, not as the world gives. I give you full joy. A God who comforts. A God who supplies all your needs. He's coming again. All things work together. No shadow of turning. With you always. Come and I'll give you rest. On and on and on. Do you believe? Because you do, it's going to change your life. The word of God will have an effect in your life like you have never known. If you will practice it, if you will believe it, if you will say, God, I don't know how it could be, but I'm on your side, I'm believing you. And the word of God will have a tremendous effect in your life. 15 years ago, the gospel of Jesus Christ was the power of God unto salvation for me. You know why? Because I believed. If I hadn't believed it, it would have been my condemning. But it was the power of God unto salvation. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. You know why we are ashamed? We don't believe it's the power of God. You know why we don't witness more? We don't believe it's the power of God. Please, you get out of the way and just let the gospel do the work.
If someone gets offended because of you, that's wrong. But if someone gets offended because of the gospel, you can't help that. Now, I don't mean we go in arrogance and pride and looking down our noses and share Jesus Christ with people. We go, as we heard last night, with tears. We go with concern. We go with compassion. We say, oh God, if you don't save them, they can't be saved. Oh Lord, if you don't come in and open your eyes and remove that blindfold, they can't be saved. I'll tell you, you can tell a person that he's here, and you can tell him what he needs to do to accept Christ, and you can tell him what will happen if he accepts Christ into eternity. But there's some space in here called holy ground. You can't walk in there with him. The Spirit of God walks in there with him. And it's like a wind that blows. You know where it comes to where it goes, but it hurts in a man's heart. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Let the Word of God come in and be that which will give you the courage and the strength to speak forth the Word of God. The Word of God is such a character that you cannot be neutral to it. The parable of the sower, I have some other things I want to say, but maybe we better hurry to a close. The parable of the sower is one of my favorite parables. Tonight a brother mentioned it in prayer. I believe the key to that parable, will not turn there, is found in verse 18 of Luke chapter 8, which says this, take heed how you hear. How have you been hearing this week, this weekend? Your ears been open? Your heart been open? You see, some are like the wayside, packed, hard. Maybe I would almost be sure there'd be none like that here tonight. I don't want to believe there's anybody here like that. But there might be. There might be someone who's here tonight that's not been saved. You've just been playing the game, and you know it. And every time you hear a message that speaks to your heart, you just start thinking of something else. And the bird of the night, the devil, comes and snatches that gospel message away so that it doesn't convict you. And you want it to go away. And tonight you've been perhaps thinking about that again. You need to accept Christ from you. You need to just humble yourself and say, God, I'm a sinner. You say, Joe, why are you getting on that? Because I don't know if there's one here that's not saved. And tonight I want to tell you, Jesus will save you tonight. He will. He'll save anyone who will come to him in faith and say, Lord, I believe you died for me. He paid the debt that I couldn't pay. And then there was always on Rocky Soul. The Word of God came in, but it didn't last. Shallow. And there was those who were like, when the Word of God came in, it was like coming in among the thorns and the thistles. And the seed fell in, and the thorns and the thistles choked it out. And Jesus says, that's like the cares and riches and pleasures of this life. And it couldn't bring any fruit to perfection. I don't know about you, but it was by the wayside. It was on the rock. It was among the thorns. But it was in the background. And you let it in. Friend, it can come into your ear, come into your mind, but unless you let it into your heart, unless that ground's been prepared, unless you come and say, oh God, speak to me, the Word of God's not going to have an effect on you. It'll have a temporary effect, but it won't have a lasting effect. And God will not be able to use you in the way that He wants to use you. James says, be swift to hear, and be not hearers only, but doers of the work. Brethren, God has chosen His omniscience to do a perfect work through imperfect people. He wants to use you tonight. He's spoken to you, I know, this weekend. He's spoken to me. And he's saying, all I want is a vessel. Clean. Clean. And empty. Even God cannot fill that which is full. You got your life full of everything but the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word, and you got no room for it. I wish you could look into my heart and see how I'm challenged. He had 12 women tonight. If you could trace your family tree back spiritually, go back to those 12. Look what we have here tonight. What's wrong? We don't believe it. Just do something, would you? Say, Lord, I'm here. To be made willing. If you choose to bless me and use me, I'm available. If you choose to put me through the grinder, I'm available. I'm here. And I'm broken. And I'm empty. And I'm at your disposal. God will do great things.
Thank you.